Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We find many Old Testament pictures of New Testament people, New Testament doctrine, New Testament events, other type and antitype relationships. We can even learn in the Old Testament something about the Lord's church that is revealed in the New Testament more completely. Of course, these things show the inseparable tie that exists between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And this is important because modernists deny that there's any real connection between them. For them to do that would demand that they surrender their preconceived bias that they've already declared, that they have accepted that there is no such thing as the miraculous, and of course, there is prophecy and fulfillment, and that demands the miraculous, which demands the existence of God, which demands inspiration, which the modernists are not honest enough to even consider. Moses built the tabernacle for the Israelites as God gave him the pattern when Israel was encamped around Sinai. Later, after Israel had taken Canaan, and the period of the judges had passed, and Israel had become a kingdom, the tabernacle was replaced by the temple, which is called the house of God, and where God did dwell in a very special and distinctive way. Now the Lord's church is called God's house, 1 Timothy 3:14 and 15, and its members are said to be the temple of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and chapter 6. Ephesians 2:19 through 22 also presents the church as a building fitly framed together, a holy temple in the Lord. Now, what had the people in Corinth and Ephesus done that made them the temple of God? In Acts chapter 18 and verse 8, we read, "And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his house, and many of the Corinthians believed and were baptized." In Acts the 19th chapter, verses 1 through 5, we read where Paul baptized the men at Ephesus in the name of Christ. You see, these people heard the gospel, they believed the gospel, they obeyed the commands of the gospel, including being baptized in the Christ. Now, God no longer dwells in a physical temple as he did in the tabernacle and the temple of the Old Testament. Paul so taught in Acts 17 and verse 24. There were three physical temples in Israel's history. The first was built by Solomon some 480 years after Israel entered Canaan. It took 7 years to build, and it was destroyed when the Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem. The second temple was the one built under the leadership of Zerubbabel after Judah returned from Babylonian captivity. But this temple gradually fell into a state of disrepair. Herod's temple, the largest of the three, and the one standing during the lifetime of Jesus here upon this earth, took 46 years to build. But it too was destroyed when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem in 70 A.D. The temple was first proposed by David, but permission was denied him to build the temple because he was a man of war, and there was so much conflict around him during his reign. But David was told that his son Solomon would build it, and Solomon was granted permission to gather many of the materials that would be used in its construction. There are a number of parallels, friend, between the temple that Solomon built and the church of Christ. And at this point, we want to read for our hearing 1 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, concerning the building of Solomon's temple. "And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father, for Hiram was ever a lover of David. And Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, Thou knowest how that David my father could not build a house unto the name of the Lord, for the wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is no adversary nor evil occurrent. And behold, I propose to build a house in the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, Thy son, whom I will set up upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build a house unto my name. Now therefore command thou that they hew me cedar trees out of Lebanon, and my servants shall be with thy servants, And unto thee will I give hire for thy servants according to all that thou shalt appoint. For thou knowest that there is not among any of us that hath the skill to hew timber like unto the Sidonians. And it came to pass, when Hiram heard the words of Solomon, that he rejoiced greatly and said, Blessed be the Lord God this day, which hath given unto David a wise son over this great people. And Hiram said to Solomon, saying, I have considered the things which thou hast sentest for me to do, and I will do all thy desire concerning the timber of cedar and concerning timber of fir. My servants shall bring them down from Lebanon into the sea, and I will convey them by sea in floats unto the place that thou shalt appoint me, and will cause them to be discharged there, and thou shalt receive them, and thou shalt accomplish my desire in giving food for my household. So Hiram gave Solomon cedar trees and fir trees according to all his desire. And Solomon gave Hiram 20,000 measures of wheat for food to his household, and 20 measures of pure oil. Thus gave Solomon to Hiram year by year. Yes, the first temple was built by Solomon. The church was built by Jesus Christ, Matthew 16:16-18. Solomon was on the throne as king when the temple was built. Christ had already ascended into heaven to be at the right hand of God at the time the church came into existence on Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. And this was as prophesied by Daniel when he told of the Son of Man going to the Ancient of Days, the Son of Man, Christ, going to the Ancient of Days, God the Father, and being given a kingdom, Daniel 7:13-14. Adversaries had been defeated before the temple of Solomon was built. The constant plague of enemies was one element in the denial of David's request to build the first temple. But Christ did not build his church until he had conquered the greatest adversary, the devil. Hebrews 2:14, Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Christ had said that even the gates of Hades would not prevail against his church, Matthew 16:20, and this simply meant that nothing, not even his own death, would prevent the church from being established. Furthermore, Peter preached in Acts chapter 2, For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Material for the temple was brought out of another kingdom. Solomon got cedars from Lebanon, with the cooperation of Hiram from the king of Tyre. The material that enters into the temple of God, his church, also comes from another kingdom. There are two spiritual kingdoms, one belonging to God and the other to the devil. Those in the kingdom of God are those who have been delivered out of the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, Colossians 1:13. Every Christian was once in the kingdom of death, but he is now a citizen in the kingdom of life. Another likeness, material that went into Solomon's temple was prepared for the temple, 1 Kings 5:6. The timber was cut and the stones were hewed to precision, to the extent that when these materials were put together, they fit perfectly, and the temple was erected without the sound of a hammer or an axe. Now those who enter the Lord's church are also a prepared people to enter in. They are prepared by being taught and converted to Christ, our sins being washed away by the blood of Christ, and we are thereby made fit for the new temple of God. The materials that went into Solomon's temple were paid for before they went into the temple, 1 Kings 5:11. Solomon also gave Hiram the payment before they were placed into the temple. Well, a similar thing has taken place regarding those of us who make up the church, the temple of God. The blood of Christ was the price paid for the church, Acts 20:28. He shed his blood at Calvary while men were yet in their sins, Romans 5:8. If the price had not been paid, there could not have been the temple. Again, the material was brought across the water before it was placed in the temple. And after the cedars were cut, they were conveyed to Israel by means of water. In similar fashion, one enters the temple of God, the church, by means of water, being baptized in water by the authority of Christ for the remission of sins. One is baptized into the body, 1 Corinthians 12:13, which is the church, Ephesians 1:22 and 23, which is also God's temple, Ephesians 2:19 through 22. Those who make up the church or the temple, they've been born again, they've been born of water and the Spirit, John 3:3 through 5. And when the temple was completed, it was considered beautiful and holy and sacred, being filled with the glory of God. Isaiah said of the temple, when bemoaning its destruction that was to come, he called it our holy and beautiful house, Isaiah 64:11. In similar fashion, Paul said of the church in Ephesians 5:27 that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. In the temple, the priests of God offered their sacrifices. In like fashion, in the church, every Christian is a priest, for we make up the holy priesthood, 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. There is no such thing as a clergy-laity system, not in the Lord's church, like you find in various denominations that are of human rather than divine origin. Service to God is to be done as one who is a member of His church. After all, it is in the church that we offer our sacrifices and we do the work God has commanded of us. But we see Solomon's temple was a physical building. But the church, even though it is presented as a building, it's not a physical house. Even some brethren must think the church building where we meet for worship is some sanctified and holy place, because they would disallow eating in the church building, because to do so, they said, would be to sin against its holiness. Well, language is often loosely spoken by brethren that tend to reveal a misunderstanding of what the church is. Now, I have a beautiful roll-top desk that I purchased from a good sister who had it out in her garage. I purchased it from her because I wanted it, and I thought she was going to sell it to somebody else who could pay more for it than I, but she graciously sold it to me with the explanation that she wanted to keep it in the church. Now, I think I knew what she meant, but I told her in jest, I don't know who baptized it, big as it is, but I'm glad they did. Dear friend, of course, the desk was not baptized, but you have to be baptized in the church, you see. That's the point I'm trying to make. The church is a spiritual house made up of people, people who have been spiritually redeemed by the blood of Christ. We are the living stones. We are the temple of God. Now, we've noted several similarities between Solomon's temple and the Lord's church, and without doubt, the temple was a part of the shadows of things to come, a type of the Lord's church. But we can also note one tremendous difference between Solomon's temple and the Lord's church. Solomon's temple was destroyed. The Lord's church shall never be destroyed, but it shall last forever, Daniel 2 and verse 44. Death could not prevail against its beginning, nor shall anything prevail against its eternal glory. As we oft-times sing, it shall stand. Dear listening friend, when you study the Scriptures, you are impressed with the tie between the Old and the New Testaments. You soon learn, even about the Temple of Solomon, that it was more than just a holy place of worship and service to God under the old Mosaic law, with all of its compartments and courts and furnishes and tapestries. It was really a type of that which was to come. We see in Scripture the gradual unfolding of God's place for redeeming man, which He designed and determined before the foundation of the world. We read the prophecies and the promises, the Old Testament pictures of the system of salvation through Christ. These things have been fulfilled in Christ and His church. Now God lives and dwells in and with His temple, the church. And as people hear the word of God, believe it, and obey it in repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ, they are added to the church. We enter into that temple. We become a part of it. The Lord adding us to the church means we become a part of His temple. And I ask you, are you a living stone in the temple of God? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.